Okay. Sabbath blessings, everyone. Everybody can hear? Okay. Okay, go ahead, babe.
Masters appearing, yes, signs all foretell that the moment is nearing. When he shall return, he's a promise not cheering, but we know not the hour he will come. Let us watch and be ready. Come. Hallelujah, hallelujah, he will come in the cloud of his Father's bright glory, but we know not the hour. There's light for the wise who are seeking salvation. There's truth in the book of the Lord's revelation. Each prophecy points to the great consummation, but we know not the hour he will come. Let us watch and be ready. He will come. Hallelujah, hallelujah, he will come in the cloud of his Father's bright glory, but we know not the hour. We'll watch and we'll pray with a lamp remembering. We'll work and we'll wait till the Master's returning. Sing and rejoice, every omen discerning, but we know not the hour he will come. Let us watch and be ready, he will come. Hallelujah, hallelujah, he will come in the cloud. For his Father's bright glory, but we know not the
God. do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for blessing us with your presence. As you promised in the Word, whenever two or more are gathered, there you are in our midst. Thank you, Father, for blessing everyone on our prayer list, especially those we mentioned last night. Those that need a healing, whether it's physical or spiritual, let them have their miracle. And Father, bless all the workers that do the work and those that help us do the work. And thank you for letting the work itself be blessed and protected. And those that come against us, Father, friend or foe, we pray that you do that which you have done for David in his day. And thank you for blessing your son's bride with the letter rain, the faith that moves the mountains, the character of your son, all of it, everything we need to glorify you, especially the courage that we're going to need to stand firm in these last days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As I stated earlier, this is probably going to be a many-part series, and it may even take me a couple, 3 weeks just to compile the information on each one. This will be part one, of course, of a sermon series titled Very Near the End, or We Are Very Near the End, however. And it may even be a video, but I don't know. I may just make a short video, like a summary, and then send people to the transcript, because if it's going to be huge, which it's looking to be, I've got like maybe 30 different, I mean, like in my book, People Get Ready, I only got like 17 prophecies in regards to what's happening, and I'm thinking I'm reaching already 30 now on this one. So, but we are very aware that we are living in the most amazing time in Earth's history. It's no longer an issue when talking to people that claim Christ Lord. It's a time in history where every prophet in the Word of God spoke of. It's the time of the end. And so many have wanted to see this day we live in, but I'm sure they only wanted to see it just to visit. Because as we also know, living in these dangerous times, they are just that, dangerous. And so, in this sermon, I'd like to share some of what I've seen over the last few years in regards to prophetic fulfillment. And thanks be to the Lord and His hand moving upon me years ago to do those daily updates that I do on the website regarding prophetic fulfillment in the news. I have literally been blessed with seeing more than I ever thought possible when it comes to seeing His hand move in a multitude of ways. And I got to say, it's bittersweet. It's bitter because I look around. Well, first of all, it's sweet because I see His hand move. And I see that every prophecy that He's ever uttered has been proven, confirmed that our God is an amazing God. But then bitter because I look around and I see so many people that aren't ready for what's already started happening. They really don't know what time it is. They don't even have the slightest inkling that the world's coming to an end. They really don't. So what I've compiled here is a list of things that are happening right now in the world that was, of course, first mentioned in the Word as being the norm in the generation that will see the second coming of the Lord. No, it's not a repeat of my People Get Ready book, as I stated earlier, or sermon series that I did back in 2006 on the same topic. I did a sermon series called People Get Ready. Because it doesn't go into as much detail per prophetic event as I do in the book. There are just too many of them happening right now to touch on any given one in too much detail. Plus, I'll be covering more prophetic events here than I did in the book because, as expected, much more has occurred since then. And no, I won't be setting any dates, nor will I be suggesting a time period for that matter. I mean, Jesus said in Matthew 24:36, but of the day and the hour no man knoweth, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So that's not what what I'm ever going to do. Okay. So number one, the very first one that I'd like to share here. In the end, there's going to be false preachers, false prophets, and even false Christs going forth for money. So right there, there's four prophetic events I'm talking about here, but I'm going to share from 2 Peter and Matthew 24 to share with you where I get this. So anyway, 2 Peter chapter 2. verses 1 to 3 says, "But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they, with feigned words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." In other words, it's assured it's going to happen. And then Matthew 24, verses 23 to 27 says, "Then, if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert." And that's amazing that he makes this statement. But this is Jesus talking, by the way, in Matthew 24. It says, "Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And the reason I say it's amazing is because some are actually saying this. He's in the desert or in the inner rooms. So anyway, first of all, today, we have many false prophets on TV, on the radio, on pulpits, on YouTube, and even on the street, luring people into sin. I get emails from some of the lesser-known self-proclaimed prophets quite a few times a year, claiming to be sent by God, that have commands from our Lord, in the hopes I will catapult their ungodly ministry by posting their false message online. Just got an email, about 2-3 weeks ago from someone. And some of the following names I am about to share have been uplifted by the media of the day, so they will be a little bit more familiar to most of you. So I'm not going to share any of the ones that I got in emails. I'm not going to help them. But there are a lot of them. There are a lot of these guys on TV, too, but I'm only going to share the more popular ones. Right, because I know there's some people that I've run across, people that are within our number years ago, I don't know if it still happens now, that thought certain of these men were safe. But you get guys like Hal Lindsey. He wrote the book Late Great Planet Earth. Or Jan Crouch, one of the founders of TBN. Nostradamus, of course, of the Roman Catholic Church. Pope 23. You know, Pope John 23, in 1962, he predicted aliens in flaming chariots would arrive to increase life to 150 years. This is a pope, all right? Benny Hinn, you know, TVN. And Catherine Kuhlman, who happens to be Benny Hinn's friend that makes all these strange prophetic utterances for Benny. Oral Roberts, Pat Robertson, you know, the 700 Club. St. Malachi. You know, he's one of the so-called Roman Catholic saint that predicted all the popes. I overwhelmingly expose him on one of my popes pages. Jack Van Impe, Michael Drosden, he's the author of The Bible Codes. Kim Clement, TBN, he's that long-haired so-called prophet on TBN. William Branham, Rod Parsley, Dr. F. Kenton Bishore, and okay, nobody probably knows him, but you're going to know him in a minute. And then, of course, Harold Camping. All right. Now, all of these so-called religious leaders have made false prophecies recently. And just to highlight a few, Benny Hinn said homosexuality would be wiped out in the 1990s. He said that on TV. And he also said Fidel Castro would be dead before the year 2000. That guy's still alive now. Pat Robertson predicted many, many false prophecies. In 1998, he predicted hurricanes, earthquakes, and tornadoes would strike Orlando, Florida in that year. Then mass millions were in, he said mass killings wherein millions would die and major cities would burn would occur in the USA in the last half of 2007. That, of course, did not happen. And he also predicted a nuclear attack on the USA by the end of 2009, just to name a few. Hal Lindsey stated a secret rapture would occur in 1994 in his book, Late Great Planet Earth. William Branham predicted in 1994 that 300,000 would come to Christ in his India crusade, which, of course, never happened. He also predicted Jesus would return by the end of 1977. Harold Camping predicted the rapture and judgment would occur on May 21st, 2011. We all know about what happened last year. And just last week, October 24th, the World Bible Society president, okay, this is no slouch, This is the World Bible Society president, Dr. F. Kenton Bishore, stated to all the world via the global media that based on his lifetime of study, he now believes the rapture, the secret rapture, by the way, is likely to, here's another, the term likely or possibly or could be, a real prophet of God doesn't use such terms. He's trying to convince people by his own lack of understanding. All right, but anyway, he said the rapture is likely to occur before the year 2021, while the second coming of Jesus Christ will happen between 2018 and 2028. Okay, now besides the fact that he's actually preaching a secret rapture and a seven-year tribulation period, because he's saying Jesus comes first and then 7 years later, the world ends, right? So besides that, the secret rapture and the seven-year trib thing, that, by the way, which has recently been proven to have been concocted by Roman Catholic Jesuits, I mean, that's bad enough, but for him to miss one simple Bible verse in his lifetime of study that proves he's a false prophet is quite telling, to say the least. That verse I refer to, of course, is Matthew 24:36, where I stated earlier, but of the day and the hour, no man knoweth, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. This was Jesus talking. He says, no man knows the day or the hour. And I got an email just recently from somebody saying that you can know the day of the hour now. You just can't know the year. And that, I think I got that email last week from a Messianic Jew, no less. I believe it was a Messianic Jew. So anyway, as I shared earlier, Jesus also said in Matthew 24 that some will claim that he, Jesus, is in the desert or in the inner rooms right before he arrives. Most today make these claims privately or behind closed door meetings in churches, of course. However, on my site, I have two audio clips of Benny Hinn making these claims on TV. He states Jesus is appearing in the deserts to Muslims, and he also said he is appearing in his closed-door meetings. I recall one time wherein he stated before a huge television audience that he was going to get footage of Jesus Christ on the platform when he went to Nairobi, Kenya. Now, besides the fact that all these men were proven by their own mouths to be liars and false prophets, all of them make millions of dollars a year in donations from people who trust them to be holy men of God. Why? Well, that has to do with yet another prophecy. I'll show later in the sermon series, of course, but I'll give you a hint as to it has to do with not reading Bibles, okay? And plus, there's that other prophecy, too, you know, where they say, preach smooth things unto us. Okay, that might even be number 31 that I should add. Because they do say, preach smooth things unto us. So anyway, moving right along. The prophecies I shared at the start also speak of the fact that false doctrines will be taught by these men as truth. So now I would like to share a list of doctrines that we as avid Bible students know for a fact are not found anywhere in Scripture. These false doctrines, or damnable heresies as Peter calls them in 2 Peter, prove these men are doing exactly as prophecy predicted that they would do. All of them preach a seven-year trib, or a three-and-a-half-year tribulation, or a great tribulation, you know, for the future, or a secret rapture, eternal life in hellfire, immediate life after death, a thousand-year reign of Christ on earth, one God in three entities or Trinity, tongues, the unbiblical kind, of course. Some even say that Islam is the Antichrist, or Allah is the Christian God. Wednesday crucifixion, they claim. They also teach a lunar Sabbath, or that Jesus isn't God at all, and the Holy Spirit doesn't even exist. And all say Sunday is the Sabbath. So if you study the Word, as I'm sure most of the remnant church does, you know all these doctrines are not found in the Scripture anywhere. Some that preach these heresies actually admit you need to remove certain Bible verses to make them work. In other words, as prophecy also stated long ago, they place their creed above the Bible itself. But I'll get into that later in the sermon series as well. In any event, this list of heresies that most churches adhere to today confirms the prophecy concerning the false teachers has been fulfilled right before our eyes over the last few decades alone. Okay? Now, next, we see in the Word, it says that they will make merchandise of you. Now, we were talking about this during the study. It 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. So what does this mean? What does it mean to say they make, what did Peter mean when he said that they make merchandise of you? Well, the word merchandise comes from the Greek word emporiumeni, or ni. It's Strong's number 1710. It means to buy or sell. One definition of this word is actually to use a person or a thing for gain. So you can use a person or a thing for gain. The following list I'm going to share now deals with some of the many prosperity TV preachers that literally preach for the money they con out of their flock's pockets. This proves this prophecy fulfilled in our day as well, as they truly make merchandise of their followers. And again, there are so many of these wicked men, I'm only going to share the more popular ones. These preachers look at their congregation as a way to become rich, or as Peter put it, they make merchandise of the people they're supposed to shepherd. You got T.D. Jakes, Kenneth Copeland, Jimmy Swaggart, Jan Crouch, Benny Hinn, Joyce Meyer, Marilyn Hickey, Kenneth Hagin, Peter Popoff, Pat Robertson, Joel Osteen, Jim and Tammy Faye from the 70s or 80s, I can't remember. Anyway, Creflo Dollar, which just had a shooting in his church. Somebody was murdered in his church, from what I understand. Robert Tilton, Paula White, Juanita Bynum, who was just beaten by one of her husbands. I don't know if it was a second. I don't know. But she was beaten, ended up in, there was a jail thing or whatever. Jesse Duplantis, Mike Murdoch, Rod Parsley, and of course Rick Warren, Washington, D.C.'s pastor. So, and finally, in this prophecy, Jesus shared in Matthew 24, shared at the start of the sermon, we see that many will actually come claiming to be Jesus Christ himself in the days before Jesus gets here. And again, there are so many of these guys that I'm only going to share the more popular ones. You got Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda. That's that guy in Miami that says he's Jesus Christ. You got Sun Young Moon, who just died, by the way, but yet he called himself Jesus Christ. All the Roman Catholic popes state this in writing. I've got their quotes on my Words of the Beast page. You got David Icke, Jim Jones. Oh, by the way, as of December of 1999, they have been averaging, I kid you not, they're averaging 40,000 false Christs per year in Jerusalem alone. 40,000 a year. And this is back in 1999. Look, they're calling it the Messiah Syndrome, which means somebody comes to Jerusalem and they get all enraptured by all this, you know, all the wonderful, you know, walking on the same roads that Christ walked on, and they get overwhelmed by it because, yeah, I mean, coming from Pentecostal churches, anything that gets the flesh boiling, it gets them to believe they're having a spiritual experience, and so they have this big boil-up, and they all of a sudden think that they're Jesus Christ incarnate. 40,000 a year. How many is that a day? I mean, do the math. And that was back in 99. It's worse now. And then you got Wayne Bent. You got, of course, Maitreya. Everybody knows about him. Charles Manson from the 70s. David Koresh. Sergey Turup. This is the guy that they call the Jesus of Siberia. He actually looks like the paintings you see of Jesus, you know. And Brother David did a video about this, about that's not really what Jesus looked like. It has to do with some, I don't know, some guy that was connected with Rome in some way. And then you got Marshall Applewhite. That's the Heaven's Gate people. Maria Devi Christos, which is the founder of the Great White Brotherhood. And of course you got Father Divine, and it's, you know, George Baker. So again, this prophecy is obviously fulfilled if you just go to Jerusalem alone. And yes, John Hagee is definitely part of the false teachers. John Hagee's that big guy, right? Is that the one that's in Texas? Correct me if I'm wrong. That's the guy in Texas, right? Have you ever seen his Revelation series that he does where he's got these giant, and he speaks like this with all authority, you know, he gets up there and he's huge, he's massive. And what does the Bible say, you know, about that unhealthy stature? I mean, he's not going to be able to focus very well on in regards to Scripture, which is proved by, you know, he did a Revelation series once a while ago, and I saw him on, you know, TV or on YouTube or something like that. I was checking him out because I needed some evidence to show to someone that was asking me about him if he was true or not. He preaches 7-year trib, secret rapture. He's, of course, a Sunday keeper. And, of course, he does not preach the health message at all. He's all over the board. He's got these gigantic graphics. You could tell he's government funded in a lot of ways with these gigantic, beautiful graphics that they put behind him as he does these so-called Revelation seminars. And all of it is just fall the wrong. None of it matches with Scripture. If you just look at my Revelation study that I did on the internet, and I don't take any claims to that study at all because God wrote the Bible. I didn't. All I did was I took these symbols that are in Revelation and I show where those symbols are used in all the other books of the Bible, including Revelation. And I let the Bible define the Bible. Now, listen to John Hagee. And when he says oil means this, or when he says the horses mean that, or when he says woman means this, or he says beast means that, look what the Bible says that these things mean. Don't take my advice. Don't take anybody's advice. Let the Bible say it. And that's why I did that study. It's for God's people. And so when you see these false prophets, and they say that, like the one guy that says oil was something that was good for ants as they were climbing up a tree or something like that. I'll never forget, that was years ago in Fire Talk. I said, the Bible doesn't say that. It's just that easy. And so, yeah, John Hagee is, he's part of the problem. And by the way, John Hagee also stated on television, there's a video, and I put this on the site about a year ago, where he wrote a new book, and in order to get his book published, he goes out and he advertises it by stating that Jesus Christ did not come to be the Messiah to the Jew. He literally, just look it up. Just look up John Hagee and Jews on YouTube. You're bound to see that commercial he made where he literally says Jesus did not come to be the Jewish Messiah. He's only to be our Messiah. The Jews have another Messiah coming. And the only reason he says that is because they made the decision back in the 1990s between the Vatican and Jerusalem and the guys in Jerusalem that, okay, well, you know, you can claim your Jesus as a Messiah, but when the other Messiah gets here, we'll claim him. And they all laughed about it. And so he is definitely part of the problem. So, okay, number two, here's the next prophecy in the list. And this one has to do with homosexuality and how it's going to grow to where it was in Lot's day. Paul declares that because some choose to worship the creature more than the creator of those creatures, God is going to step away from them. It says in Romans chapter 1, verses 25 to 27, when speaking of these types, he says, you know, he says that they are who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men working with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. You know, Jesus also said in Luke chapter 17, verses 26 to 30, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So it is plainly stated in the Word of God, of course, and I go into a little bit more detail in regards to this in my homosexual marriage video, that when Jesus returns, he will destroy all the homosexuals along with all those in agreement with them when he splits that eastern sky. As every Christian that trusts the Bible knows, in Lot's day they had a major problem with homosexuality. In fact, the term sodomy comes from the name for the city of Sodom. Now, the homosexuals are having this big, you know, to-do now. They're taking the Bible out of context and says, oh, no, no, Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't only about homosexuality. Yeah, well, believe what you want. We know what the Bible says. Okay, I mean, prophecy is clear. The homosexual will once again grow in number, and many will accept them as completely normal. In fact, many so-called Christian churches of today not only have homosexual pastors in them now, they actually sanction and marry homosexuals in their churches before the eyes of God. Plus, there are laws passed in many countries the world over now where opening a Bible to help a homosexual see his or her sinful way is considered a crime, punishable by 5 years in jail or 5,000 or a 5,000 fine or both. And they do this because there are some weak-kneed Christians out there that are afraid, and they know this. And so what they're going to do is they're going to, you know, well, that Christian definitely won't talk to the homosexual now because he's afraid to go to jail. So it works to some extent. I mean, Canada was one of the first nations to do this in September of 2003, by the way. I did a radio thing and a newsletter on it. I mean, look at the Vatican as well. They have the largest known organized group of homosexual men on the planet that stand as priests, of which over 1 billion Catholics still believe are holy and sanctified men. Worse yet, these men have become so evil that they have surpassed the wickedness of even being homosexuals themselves, and that they now prefer the flesh of little children in their bedrooms. You know, a sobering judgment is going to be, it's definitely upon the parents that ignore the sins of those priests. Even heads of state are stepping out of the closet to claim homosexuality to be normal in many nations, including the USA. Barney Frank, for example, a U.S. congressman, he's one prime example. He was just married. He married his lover, Jim Reddy, on July 7th, 2012. And if you Google the congressman's name, they actually document his spouse like they would document any congressman's spouse. They're like, you know, Congressman so-and-so is married to so-and-so, you know, and they put his wife's name right there on this document, his online documentation, right? Well, they document his spouse as Jim Reddy, as if it's completely normal and totally acceptable. And to top this off, Barack Obama has declared, as President of the United States, no less, that homosexual marriages should and will be sanctioned. And as we all know, the USA has always been the trailblazer every other nation yearns to emulate. That being the case, this prophecy has been boldly fulfilled before the eyes of every soul on earth. Jesus said it would be as the days of Lot, and that day is here right now. In fact, like Lot, many Christians are vexed daily because of all this. And then number three, earthquakes. I know I shared this before in the People Get Ready, but you need to hear this. Matthew 24, verse 7 says, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." And by the way, one definition of the word diverse is variety. If you are a regular visitor to the website, you know that I post all the quakes for the week on my additional signs of the end section of the main page on Fridays, thanks to Brother Daniel's daily research. I mean, Daniel had to shorten the list to share only quakes of 2.5 or greater to make his and my job just a tad bit easier. I mean, some places have literally hundreds of small quakes a week now. Quakes don't have to be building tippers either to be defined as a quake. But, you know, they don't. I mean, Jesus just said quakes. He didn't give us any Richter scale measurements or requirements for them to be considered quakes. Quakes are quakes. But just to give you an idea of how bad it's gotten lately, I'm going to borrow a section from my book, People Get Ready, to illustrate something, you know, that wasn't going on back then. I mean, it's gotten a lot worse. I mean, in the book, you know, I also cut the list down due to the massive number of quakes, you know, to illustrate a point, but still. There were very few before the prophesied end times that Daniel the prophet spoke of that commenced in 1844. So not much effort was needed on my part, for that matter, when it came to researching the historic quakes. For example, from 526 AD to 1896 AD, planet Earth experienced 21 major quakes in all of those 1,370 years. 21 major quakes in that long period of time. That's an average of about 0.02 quakes a year that killed more than 10,000 souls each. So I of course, you know, lowered it to a certain figure. Now, notice this. A few years after the end times began, we see that from the year 1906 to 1990, we also had 21 earthquakes that killed over 10,000 people. Most of them were over 50,000 dead, and a few were over 200,000 dead, and one in China in 1976 killed 240,000 people in just that one year, that one quake. But did you notice what just happened here? We saw 21 earthquakes in those years. However, those 21 earthquakes didn't occur over the course of 1,370 years. They occurred in just 84 years. That's an average of 0.4, not 0.02, but 0.4 earthquakes a year that have killed more than 10,000 men, women, and children. That's 200 times more earthquakes in 84 years than in all of the recorded 1,370 previous years of quakes. How many quakes have we had since 1990, you ask? Well, according to the online geology news blog, scientists have recorded, and I quote, roughly one earthquake in the magnitude of 6.0 range every 2.4 days in 2010 alone. That's 876 6.0 quakes in the year 2010. Long ago, it took 1,370 years to get 21 large quakes. And recently, it took 84 years to get to 21 large quakes. Now, we see 876 quakes of 6.0 or greater in just 1 year. And that's not counting the many that registered between 5.9 and down or 6.1 and up. And I have the link for anybody that wants it. I think it's in box 11. I don't know why. Where is it? 9. Yeah, where I got that quote about one every 2.4 years. Anyway, furthermore, on the U.S. Geological Survey National Earthquake Information Center's website, I found a chart that listed all the quakes from 0.1 to 9.9 from 1990 to 1999. Now, if I follow Brother Daniel's method of cutting them down to just 2.5 or greater each week, this is what I found. In 1990, we had 11,076 quakes. In 1991, 11,835. 1992, 14,576. 1993, 16,293. The next year, 16,631. The next year, 18,517. And then for some odd reason, for the next 2 years, they dropped a little bit. Like 1996, we only had 17,456 earthquakes of 2.5 or greater. And in 1997, we had 16,065 earthquakes. But 1997 or 1998, it jumped back up and superseded both of those years with 18,447. And then, of course, 1999 dropped a little bit to 18,016. So that comes to 158,912 earthquakes of 2.5 or greater in just 10 years. Still, this is next to nothing since the year 2000. Look at the chart I posted. And people get ready when you get time. It's box 11 here. I kind of zoomed it up a little bit so you can tell. Look at the green bars. All right. It shows a spike. When you get to the year 2000, the spike grows. Look at it. It just, bam. You got all these ups and down, ups and down, ups and down, and bam, it just goes off, almost off the chart here. When you get to the year 2001, I think, 2000 and 2000, it went back down a little bit, and then bam, 2001, and then it just went way up there, like five times the amount of quakes that are there. So that, I thought, was pretty shocking. But still, the numbers I just shared were just quakes of 2.5 or greater. I also found that in 2011 alone, we had 4,954 quakes of 5.0 or greater. And I didn't find any reliable numbers for the year 2012 yet because, it's not over. So I figure somewhere in late January or early February of 2013 we'll have those totals. And in any event, quakes are now more active on the planet than thunderstorms. And we have thunderstorms every hour on the hour all around the world. But the quakes are more active now. Anyone that is alive today can now attest to the fact that this prophecy has been confirmed, fulfilled. And by the way, as I was in prayer this morning, the Lord gave me Psalm 114, verse 7, which says this: "Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob." I believe this is why the quakes are increasing so much. The Lord is very soon in coming. Just as the earth quaked when he descended on Mount Sinai thousands of years ago, it's quaking again at his near return. You know, as soon as I can, I plan to gather more information to share, part number two of the series. And yes, I plan to post it online as a webpage in the prophecy section as well. But as for making the video, I hope to do so, but this is going to have to be a rather long series from what I'm seeing already. And if I do make a video, it's going to have to be like a summary video or something, and that'll point to just this huge pile of data to let the people know what time it is. But we do have quite a few things to cover, and so we'll have to get back to that with part number two. So I hope and pray you are blessed by what you heard this Sabbath day. Thank you. Keyboard moving or something. I thought he was going to say something. Anyway, if you can kneel, please do so. It's time to pray. His daughter was on the keyboard. Oh, isn't that cute? Okay, if you can kneel. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for loving us enough to warn us in advance of what's going to happen, to help us get ready so that we're not caught off guard. So many people out there that just don't understand the love that is behind your prophetic word. Please bless us with opportunities to share with them because it opens up so many eyes, even the young. I've noticed it on the street for decades about how the young will actually listen when you start talking prophecy. And so thank you for blessing us here and giving us the tools that we need to bring them in. And thank you, Father, for blessing again the workers and those that help the workers. Thank you for the hedge of angels you have about all of us and your son's bride as individuals and as the group. And thank you for keeping the hedge of angels around those that would come against us, whether they're friend or foe. We thank you for blessing us the way you did David in his day when he was being attacked. And thank you also, Father, for blessing everyone on the prayer list, especially those that are lost and those that are sick, whether it's physical or spiritual sickness. We pray, Father, that you give them their miracle. We thank you for all these things. And to the best of our ability, we once again pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, Jesus Christ. Amen.